Okay, looks like we're live, guys. G'day, my name's Alex from the Tripod, and today with Jacob, we'll be breaking down not only State of Origin Game 2 from a punting perspective, but also break down the three other rep rounds, or the rep games over the weekend. So first things first, download the Tripod app. It's totally free to download. I'll just get Jacob in here. Totally away $500 in bonus bets this weekend. I'll just flip my camera here so you guys can see the line. There we go. Perfect. We're giving away $500. Get my fucking writing in here now. $500 for the Australia v Denmark soccer game tomorrow night at 10 o'clock. So make sure you download the app. Tripod, just search in the App Store or Google Play. TRYPOD. How are you, Jacob?
I'm good, thanks, mate. I'm feeling pumped up. I hope you're... Wi-Fi is feeling pumped up for this game as well because it's coming through a little crackling for me. I hope we can be sharp. Origin 1, our preview for that was our most watched and most listened to show this year. And we did, well, we let people down a little bit. We had 9 plays on that one and we won 4 and lost 5. It was all going really well. I think we won 3 or 4 of those plays in the first half, predicted an absolute arm wrestle. And that was the kind of game Queensland needed it to be. But it did blow apart in the second half. 3 quick New South Wales tries. We all know what the final score was there. We're going to break down Origin 2. You know, much anticipated big game series on the line, obviously, in Sydney on Sunday night. First weekend Origin that I can remember in a long, long time.
Yep.
We'll go through that game, of course. We've got some best bets for this one. We're coming back strong with more best bets. And then we will, if you're interested, we will do a little bit of a cap on the rest of rep rounds. So we got PNG, Fiji. We got Samoa, yep. Tonga. And then we've even got the test match over in the US, England versus NZ. So we will skim through those ones after Origin talk. And we've got some players. We found some value on them too. But going back to Origin, yep. Mate, let's start with game 1. We know New South Wales won by 10 points. Let me ask you a question. Did New South Wales deserve to win by 10 points?
I will probably cop a lot of shit for this, but I don't think they deserve to win by 10 points. I think 2 tries were absolute bullshit. And I thought Queensland hung with them fairly well, you know, for a majority of the game. It was just that second half burst from New South Wales that got them over the line. But I thought our forwards were relatively decent. I really think our halves were pretty bad as a whole. But I do think that they've stepped up in their club games over the last 2 weeks. So I am expecting better from our halves, you know, this time around come Sunday. But no, I don't think we deserve to lose by 10 points. And like we said, kind of when we broke down State of Origin first time round, we probably should have won like 8 out of the 9 bets we gave out if it wasn't for a contentious forward pass.
Yeah, if you want to look back at our bets, and when we do say we, when we're talking about Queensland, and it's dangerous territory because we're here telling people how to make money betting. We're not here telling people what we hope happens in the game. And when you are biased, we are, you know, we are staunch Queensland fans, but people should understand we have bet on New South Wales before. We were all over them game 1 last year. We have bet on them in other matches, often dead rubbers, in the last few years and been successful. So it's not a case of us talking ourselves into Queensland. We did feel that was the right side. And yeah, we had bets like Queensland to score more than 12 points. They land on 12. Yep. I think the first half to be tied and they were down 2. Had New South Wales to not score or to score less than 4 tries. They get 4 when they get those 3 in a row. You said 2 bullshit passes. I mean, we don't want to sound too bitter. Sorry, 2 bullshit tries. Yes, the Maloney pass, there's been a lot of argument about that. We can probably put that one to bed. But, you know, counter argument, Queensland scores a try off a 90-meter intercept pass where New South Wales had an overlap and we would have been dead in the water at 14-0 at that point.
Very true.
I remember correctly, was a score. And then our other try is a kick, is a grubber in behind, and we win the race to the ball. So we didn't really make a lot of tackle breaks and a lot of line breaks, certainly not as many as New South Wales. So my next question I put to you is, like, how do you see game 2 turning out differently? Because no question, New South Wales were better than Queensland and deserved to win game 1.
Yes, they did deserve to win game 1. I guess my argument was they didn't deserve to necessarily win it by 10 points. And, you know, the cop-out way of saying it is, yes, New South Wales has a way better roster. They've got a more talented roster across the park. They'll easily win game 2. But State of Origin generally doesn't go that way, as we've kind of learned over the years. And there's a few, you know, handicapping factors that go into play for game 2 as well. I mean, you know, it's easy to say that the team that loses game one, you know, comes around and is more motivated for game two, because they're fucking, their life's on the line. It's fucking the whole state of origin is on the line for game two. But it does happen like that. So Queensland's going to be hungrier. Also, the fact that kind of New South Wales has a lot of debutants, it could be them, you know, getting a little bit lax for game two, saying, fuck, you know, this is so fucking easy. We smoked them in game one. It's going to be exactly the same for game two. But the difference for me is going to be Billy Slater at fullback. I think that's a massive upgrade. I know we kind of talk about Billy Slater being possibly worth, you know, three or more points in a point spread for the Storm. But you've got to talk about value over replacement as well. And his replacement was a fucking 50%, as we've now found out, a 50% Michael Morgan. So that is a huge boost for the Queensland Maroons. And also, obviously, RCG output for the Blues. So there's a few things finally going Queensland's way.
Yeah, like we can talk about, you know, Queensland's more motivated because it's do or die for them, whereas New South Wales has another chance. But really, I mean, we look back at what happened in game two last year. They're not that silly. They're certainly not going to come into the game kind of overinflated. I mean, if anything, you can maybe argue that's worth a quarter of a point, half a point in the point spread, just playing the team that is down in game two, because you will have laser focus, you know that. But I think New South Wales have suffered so many disappointments. I think they've won six of the last 10 openers and have one series win to show for it. So can't count on that. We also have to admit home field advantage. That will lift the Blues as well. And I don't think Queensland's going to be scared going into Sydney to try and win this one. But it's not just about the way the players play. It's the influence on referees as well. Just with the, you know, crowd noise can influence. And people might think it shouldn't, and I agree it shouldn't, but we watch it every week. The crowd can influence penalties at key moments. There were fuck all penalties in game one. And if that's the case in game two, I think there will be a lot less. It means players are going to get away with a lot more, which I think favours Queensland, because it will allow them to stretch the boundaries of the rules. You know, people did complain that Queensland spent a lot of the game offside. From a Queensland point of view, I thought New South Wales line was never quite 10 metres back either. That actually favours a side with less speedsters and less dynamic players. So that is another factor in Queensland's favour. And you nailed it with Billy Slater, a big replacement over Morgan, who really offered nothing in attack in game one. And it's just your preparation is going to be less, I guess, hampered, because you know. Now, we're going to roll the dice here with Billy Slater. He hasn't played a game of footy in a month. You have to assume he's healthy, but they did say he got through today's training session, which they said was the sharpest of their two camps so far. So you have to believe Slater's in there. And then I guess another one is Latrell Mitchell. He's been named to play, but that injury looked awful on Friday night last week, and I would have question marks. But, I mean, what about all the debutants for New South Wales? Do you not think that they would improve, you know, be better for having a run in game one?
They should improve, I guess. I mean, as with everything with Origin, you get that first run and you just kind of need to get into, it's a totally different game to the fucking regular season, that's for sure. So those debutants will be better for it. But I just do think, you know, they say all the time, it's like, it's great to have these debutants in there. You don't have the bad history and all that kind of thing. But I just think in the back of their mind, they've got to be thinking this is a little bit too easy. I get that it's Origin, both teams should be fucking max motivation. But I just think there is a little bit more motivation for Queensland this time around. And they're going to throw everything at him. And I also like the addition of Ponga as well. I thought Milford was useless and they had no spot in there. And we've both been saying Ponga should have been, you know, at least on the bench for game one. And it's good to see him there as well. Because, you know, the thing is, obviously with a big point spread, like 8.5 points, if they are down a couple of tries late, you can put Ponga in there and he might be able to get you a bit backdoor cover, which someone like Milf just can't do. So that's an extra two attacking weapons in Slater and Ponga that Queensland didn't have the first time around.
And definitely if Queensland has any chance in this game, and we're talking about how to win money. So we're not sitting here saying New South Wales are better, New South Wales at home, bet on them to win at $1.35 or some bullshit like that, okay? Because more often than not, you're going to be right. But you have to be right if you're betting $1.35 more often than not. And even you're probably still not going to have a profit against the bookies. But we're talking more so in terms of a handicapping point of view, 50-50 markets, the line, totals, and we've got a few other markets as well, like derivations of that, like team totals and halftime lines and stuff like that. So Queensland will have to put on points if they are going to be close. And we're making the case that we think it will be close. I mean, simply put, it's Origin, and it's always close unless there's a lot of factors that's going to change that. And over the last few years, the games that Queensland won big was because of the class that we had in our JTs and our Cooper Cronks and our Cam Smiths. We don't have that anymore, but I still don't have that many players in the New South Wales team that really puts fear in me. I said before game one, the one guy that scares the shit out of me is Tedesco, and yep, he did
And
turn
he
into something.
did, yeah.
But it wasn't the other guys everyone talked up, Adokar, the Jimmy the Jet. Latrell did barge over for,
He was good.
a pretty big try, and Trbojevic snatched one out of Gagai's grasp as well that did swing the game. But really, they didn't. Those other, debut speedsters did not light us up. And I made the point that in Origin, it's tighter. The 10 metres is shorter. The tackles are slower. You have the opportunity to kind of keep those guys under wraps a little bit more. Let's talk about the outside backs because you already started with Slater and Ponga. I mean, you still give the edge to New South Wales in terms of the outside backs.
I do, yeah, and I think there are much more talented outside backs. The thing is, like you kind of touched on, when you have Origin where it's a lot closer and you get a lot less attacking opportunities and a lot less open space generally because the defense does tighten up. And like I said in the first pod, teams are making 40 meters a set rather than 50 to 60 meters a set, so there are less attacking opportunities and less chances for these speedsters like Adokar, like James Roberts, like Luttrell to find space. So I do think that they are still the more talented, outside backs. However, like you said, with a total like 34 and a half, there's not meant to be that many points. Therefore, less opportunities for them. So I just do think that Queensland, although they're less talented, certainly in the outside backs, it doesn't matter too much in a game like Origin because they just don't get as many chances.
And my argument is they might have more talent, but we do have so much more experience. Slater just adds so much on both sides of the ball, his organisation in defence, the way that he can help the halves out by being an attacking option. Let's not forget he was the one that created that overlap that set up the winning try in game two, which essentially is the series winning try after JT slots it. But we can talk about last year all we want. But this year, I mean,
Yes.
Will Chambers, the best defensive centre in the NRL, that's what he's
He
referred
had a
to in the
horrible game.
He got given a bath in game one, but I do expect a good player like that, who's played the Melbourne Storm, Queensland, Australia for a number of years, to bounce back. I mean, GI was outstanding in a beaten side. Valentine Holmes, you had Gagai playing, missing a finger essentially as well. I think these guys can have huge games. I know that Teddy is, the best fullback in the game, but I think Slater, at least it's not such a mismatch as when you had Morgan in the opposing number one jersey. I give slight edge to Queensland in the outside backs because it's more than just who can run 40 metres in the fastest time. What about the forward pack? Tell me, obviously we know New South Wales is more stacked on paper, but can Queensland keep it close up front?
Well, I thought they did kind of in game one, and I mean, not much has really changed. I think Napa should play, but even if they have to bring Glasby in, I mean, he's a capable replacement. And then on the New South Wales front, obviously Campbell Gillard out, and for some fucking unknown reason to me, they've put an over 30-year-old Matt Prior in there who hasn't had the best season at all for the Sharkies. I would have been way more scared with someone like, Ryan James or something like that. So I think that New South Wales still has the better forward pack, but they're certainly a little bit more depleted from last time around. I know ICG only got like 30 minutes in game one, but he did decently. And Matt Prior doesn't scare me at all. And I thought that Queensland forwards hung relatively tough with New South Wales. I thought the difference was more so in the halves and the kicking game and that kind of thing. But Queensland can fucking hang with them. I'm not too worried about that.
Yeah, Matt Prior, make no mistake about it, he's a gun of a player. And for me, I'll never forget the performance that he had. I think it was first round of the finals in one of those top four finals to make a preliminary final down in Canberra. I think Paul Gallen was scratched for the game. I think Wade Graham was out very early on. I think Cronulla were down early. And he had an absolute Herculean performance to carry that Sharks team. They win that game in Canberra. It gets them through to the prelim. They get 2 weeks off. They end up playing a, absolutely shattered Cowboys team. They ride that game all the way through to winning their maiden comp. And, that was on the back of some hell good form by Matty Prior that year. But, I mean, Ryan James, it is a strange decision because James would be the exact kind of prototype of your new generation. And they're
True.
already talking about a new era of Blues, which is dangerous when you haven't won a single series yet. But I don't know, Matt Prior, maybe he's got naked pictures of Freddie. I'm not sure. I do think for Queensland, okay, Napa may have a bum ankle, but Josh Maguire had one going into game one. So correct. I do think that's a bit of a wash. And as you mentioned, no RCG. So if anything, you have to downgrade the New South Wales forward pack. And I just love blokes like Calfusi. I really think he was threatening in game one. And I think that, I think game two could be slightly more open than game one. And some of these guys can make a difference. And I do think Queensland keeps it close up front, which you have to. But of course, you do give the edge to the New South Wales forward pack. Cordner had his best game of the season. You've got guys like Trbojevic off the bench. So edge to New South Wales in the forwards. But if you are to have any chance in a game, you have to keep it close. But your halves are going to allow you to do that as well. So why don't you talk about the halves battle now that we've seen Cleary play at the highest level?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the New South Wales won the halves battle by far. And I mean, you kind of got what you expected from Maloney. Just game management, fucking solid in-game kicking. But Cleary was very impressive on debut. And the Queensland halves were just very, very disappointing. I mean, we know that Munster doesn't kick the ball that often, but Ben Hunt's kicking was just terrible. It fucking reminded me, I think I said this pod one, it fucking reminded me of Matt Frawley on the Doggies. Just these useless fucking midfield bombs that don't trouble anyone. But in saying that, you fast forward after Origin 1, Maloney and Cleary actually had a shocker first game back for the Panthers. And Hunt and Munster have played two very good club games in a row. So, you know, maybe it's just a one-off bad game. Maybe Origin just kind of got to Ben Hunt a little bit. And Munster, I mean, he's only played that one game, one before that. So I'm expecting better things from Hunt and Munster in game two. I think they'll carry over their club form from the last 2 weeks. And they've looked almost better than Maloney and Cleary over the last, you know, week 14 and 15 in the NRL.
Man, I don't know. I don't think Munster had a bad game in game one, to be honest. I thought he was one of our actual threats out there on the field. He is a hell of a player, and absolutely Queensland needs him to be massive, and he could be a good pick for a man of the match if Queensland were to get an upset. Ben Hunt was labouring, and he was really struggling, and it showed both sides of the ball. You know, some of his kicks, some of his lack of threat in attack, and missed tackles as well. Whereas I watched Ben Hunt absolutely carve Manly on the weekend, and he played well the week before that too. And I think that's a difference for game two from game one that we haven't spoken about yet, is a healthy Ben Hunt. That does make a big difference too. And New South Wales, they also, those halves give you a great advantage in goal kicking. It wasn't shown in game one. I think Maloney missed two conversions, in fact.
Yeah, he wasn't great.
Holmes slotted one from the sideline. Don't be fooled. Queensland will have to score at least as many tries as New South Wales, if not more, to win this game, because I don't think we will get that goal-kicking luck. We've got a bunch of plays now that we have kind of broken down the game. Did you have any other kind of points to make, or should we share some bets that we don't think will be on the board for too long of where we're seeing value in Origin 2?
Yeah, not really. I guess the last thing, coming out to Suncorp for Game 3, put your tinfoil hat on, but the NRL does want a live Game 3 rubber at Suncorp Stadium. So a little bit to think about there. I know home field generally gets the calls, but the NRL wants Game 3 to be live. But we have spoken for a couple of hours before the pod here. So we've come to an agreement on pretty much plays for all four of the rep round games. Should I just fucking run through them?
Do it, mate. We've already agreed. We like them. Let's hit it up.
All right. First up, we are just going to take the plus 8.5 on Queensland. That's on Ladbrokes, $1.92. We don't think this line gets to 10. So let's just take the best price now. We think that gets bet by the sharps down to 8 or even lower by game time. We'll take Queensland plus 4.5 in the first half. That's $1.81 on Sportsbet. If Queensland's have any chance in this one, they have to keep it tight game one. In the first half, and that's exactly what they did game one. Plus 4.5 in the second half as well. It's $1.85 on Crown Bet. And I mean, anytime you get a line around 8 and you can get the hook with plus 4.5 in both halves, you just do that. Let's take New South Wales under 10.5 points in the first half. You can get that $1.80 on both Sportsbet and Ladbrokes. New South Wales to not score 3 unanswered tries. That is $1.85 on Bet365. Queensland team total over 12.5. That's $2 on Bet365. I know we took that game one at $1.90. We do think it'll be a little bit more open this time. Queensland should be able to get more than 12 points. And neither team to win both halves. That is $1.80 on Bet365. We do think this will be a close one. And you win that bet as well if it's tied at half time, or tied in either half as well. Oh, actually, one more. I've got a mechanical one for you guys out there that have probably been in the pod for a little while, but mechanical Queensland over 6 points in the first half. So that means if they get over 6 points in the first half, you win. If they get 6 points, you get your money back. And we'll do that by putting 61% on over 4.5 Queensland first half points. That's $1.62 on Bet365. And the remaining 39% on over 6.5 Queensland first half points. That is $2.50 on Neds. And that's going to give us odds of $1.98. That is it. 8 plays, I think that was.
I do like something like that. Over 6.5 points, you know there's a high probability of taking the 2 early on. Then you kind of need a, just a converted try and you're over that mark. And as we said, we think Queensland can keep it close. And that's not that revolutionary, really. It is state of origin. And for a lot of reasons that we've laid out to you, we see another close game and an absolutely cracking game. We can't wait to watch it. And yes, we did say that Queensland would keep it close in game one. We had +8.5. It lands 10. We got it wrong, yeah. But you know we're not disgraced yet. We absolutely nailed all 3 games last year, going from calling New South Wales to win game one by 20 to then backing Queensland in game 2 and 3 when everyone had written them off. They've been written off for this one, but it's not over yet. So can't wait to see it all play out at ANZ Stadium. And I just want to say one other thing. If Queensland lose this season, well, Smith retired. Slater was injured game one. Cronk is retired. JT's retired.
Get him out.
That Wales lose, what's their excuse? They will shit their pants if they have to go to a decider and it's Billy Slater's farewell in the cauldron.
Yeah. Fucking very true. Very true. Let's get into wrap round. Yeah, so 3 games, obviously. We'll start off with PNG versus Fiji. PNG are +13.5 points. 41.5 points the total. That's a doubleheader at Campbelltown Stadium. I don't have a huge lean on this one. I guess if I had to play the game, I would play PNG. Worries me a little bit that Nene McDonald has been ruled out. Obviously, he is an absolute gun, and I had him in my original fucking Queensland team. But I mean, they're also, you know, PNG missing their fucking 5'8" and their fullback from the World Cup. So I mean, there's dramas there. But I really do think that Fiji, you know, they're putting up a decent side, but any time you fucking have Jared Hayne in the halves, it worries me. So I don't want to lay 13.5 points with Fiji. It just seems like too many to me. So, you know, it'd have to be PNG or nothing.
Yeah, both these teams really impressed in the World Cup. PNG rolled everybody in their group, although granted that was in Port Moresby. Then they came down to Melbourne and they got smoked by an England team that was too classy for them. And we'll talk about England's test match in a minute. Fiji all the way through to the semi-final. We actually had a tip on Fiji to upset New Zealand. I think it was $9 halftime, full-time. If I remember correctly, that quarter-final, they obviously got the upset. Something like 4-2, they win that game. It was very low scoring. It was a huge effort by the Fiji boys. And they will come with a lot of spirit. They're rightfully the favourites. They've got a pretty scary back line. But they're missing some key guys too. I mean, missing Kikau, yes, who's been one of the best impact second rowers in the comp this year for Panthers. Coruscant is not available, and they don't have any of the Sims brothers either. You're right, though. With Nene McDonald out for PNG, I do worry. I'm not jumping to play this line, but you can get +14.5 on PNG. 9 of the team are Hunters, and PNG Hunters won the Queensland Cup last year, which is the second.
Yes.
Actually, Super League has gotten better. I used to say Queensland Cup was the second highest level. I don't know if we can still make that claim, but that's a high level competition that the Hunters won last year. So I wouldn't be rushing to lay a lot of points with Fiji, but they certainly have a lot of class on the outside backs. That's the early game in the first of double header at Campbelltown. The second one, Samoa Tonga.
Yeah, Samoa is +13.5 in most places against Tonga, and 41.5 the total. I actually really like Samoa in this one. I know that Tonga does have the better outfit, but Samoa's got a very, very solid roster. And these games are generally very tight. Samoa's won the last 2 against them, and generally they've been fairly lower scoring. And I mean, any time you can get 13.5 points in a low scoring game, I'm going to take that if I like the side. And I do like Samoa. I think they can keep it pretty close. I think they have the better halves combo in Milf and Lino. I think that's, they're better than fucking, who will it be? It'll be Atahingano and fucking
Tui.
Oh, a lot Tui. Yeah, of course. So you can get 13.5. I've looked around today. You can get Samoa plus 16 and a half on Sportsbet, $1.90. Lock that in. I think they can go close, and they can definitely keep within 16 and a half points. That's Sportsbet, $1.90. And then I think it's based, the halftime lines are like six. Somewhere there's 4.5, there's 6.5. We can get them plus 8 in both halves, first half and second half. That is $1.90 on CrownBet. I think those are both great bets, considering the consensus line is pretty much 13 and a half.
And these teams met in the World Cup as well, and Tonga got the better of Samoa. They ran into
the revenge factor, yeah.
But I think that the line on that game was 6.5. Have we really justified the line moving 10 points? Everyone remembers how well Tonga did. I don't want to take anything away from them because we rode Tonga. We also bet Tonga against New Zealand. We had Tonga against England and we covered with plus 2.5. They lose in heartbreaking fashion in that semi. And it was probably the best way for them to go out because I don't think they would have actually given Australia as good a game as the Poms did in the final.
Correct.
And we were there. But, you know, everyone knows who's in the Tonga team. We know Fifita's there. We know Taumalolo's there. Neither of them have had their best season this year. Michael Jennings, there's a lot of gun names, but they have lost Fusitua. You have no Pangai Jr. You have no Solomon Akata in this Tonga team. The forward pack for Samoa is not to be fucked with. I mean, I love the way a guy like Isaiah Papali'i is playing for the Warriors this year. It's been a revelation for them. And, you know, you bring in Cassiano as well. Now, they lost, Marmolo has chosen to represent New Zealand, but in the World Cup, they didn't have MILF, and I don't even remember if they had Leno. And our big question mark in the World Cup was, can Samoa put on points with these halves? Now you have gun halves, as you mentioned before. That's way too many points. I love Samoa. Again, I don't know if they win the game, but I think they go close, and I think they've got a real good chance of an upset, actually, on Saturday night.
Yep, totally agree. And then the last game, that's going to be at a weird time. I think it's like 6 a.m. in the morning on Sunday, because obviously this one's being played over in the altitude in Denver, but it's England, 2.5-point favourites against New Zealand, 37.5 the total. I like England, as weird as it sounds. And for similar reasons that you were saying about Tonga and Samoa, I think the average Joe's going to look through these rosters and they're going to see basically the New Zealand team has NRL players in their whole roster, I think, except for maybe one. It's all names that they know for the mug punter. The English team, not so much unless they follow football over there. But as we've seen, this England team is trending upwards for decades. New Zealand has had a better rugby league team England has had a better rugby league team. New Zealand has had a better rugby league team than England. For fuck's sake, what am I doing? But England fucking made the final of the World Cup. They lost 6-0 to Australia. Their defense was very, very solid. These teams are trending in different directions. New Zealand is missing their best two players in Sean Johnson and RTS. I think England win this game. They're 2.5-point favourites. We can get some great bets, actually. And also, I don't trust fucking Nick Reimer and Tamari Martin. I just don't fucking trust them.
Shouldn't trust Tamari Martin. I wouldn't trust him with my girlfriend, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's very true. Anyway, so England are 2.5-point favourites, but we can get England to win in 80 minutes. So as long as it doesn't go to extra time, England's leading at fucking 80 minutes. That's $1.80 on Bet365. And England just to win the first half in a two-way market, that is also $1.80. That is on CrownBet. I think England wins this game, and they could win by plenty.
I do think England wins this game. You mentioned extra time. I'd be very surprised if there is extra time. But if you bet England just to win and it finishes as a draw in 80 minutes, you would get half your money back. Or money back. But with this bet, if it's a draw, you lose.
We're getting
England at $1.80, not $1.70, which it is in most places. And I agree. Like, you could argue that the sharp way is to take a New Zealand team that absolutely failed in a home World Cup last year. You know, they're embarrassed. Now, they are taking this game very seriously. I read an article about how they're going to have oxygen masks and muscle stimulators on their flight over there. They've got a lot of science behind it. They've left a lot of star players at home, RTS, Sean Johnson, Tohu Harris. But I actually think that works in their favour, that all these young guys that are playing are going to be hungry and they're going to want to prove themselves and start a new era of New Zealand, bringing pride back to New Zealand Rugby League. But there's just no combinations there in the back line for them, which is a big problem. England's the opposite. England's retaining a lot of players that played really well in the World Cup last year. And they're just going to be too clinical. Players are going to get tired in the altitude. And there could definitely be some bets that we add later in the week. And we're going to add to the bets we've given out today once there's more markets available. And you're going to find all them on the Tripod app where we release all our plays for free. So stay tuned for that. I do want to mention, though, like it's not an absolute slam dunk for the reasons I said. Sure. I think New Zealand will come in with a purpose. And you look at that New Zealand forward pack, and you can say it is square to look at their team and see all the NRL players, but it's a fucking monstrous forward pack. You've got Maria Hargraves, Tapau, Nelson Asofa, Solomona.
True, he is beast.
Isaac Luke, Rake. It is a beastly forward pack. And one of the Burgess boys is actually ruled out, not Sam, but one of the twins as well.
Georgie.
You can give the edge to the New Zealand forward pack, but those big boys will tire. This is in the Mile High City. I think it's actually called Mile High Stadium in Denver, Colorado.
Yes, it is.
And they've got to travel further, the majority of the England team coming just from the UK. That will hit them hard in the second half. That's why I agree England's going to win the game. And when most bookies are dealing -2.5, we can get England just to win. That's a great bet. And you also mentioned just to win the first half as well.
I'll tell you an underrated factor as well. You mentioned the altitude. And I know, obviously, some people that follow the NFL, they'll know that's the stadium of the Denver Broncos play there. And the ball flies further in altitude. That's why you have longer field goals in the NFL, in that stadium in particular, because it's fucking high altitude. And when you get a decent kicker like Gareth Widder and a team, you know, like even the Dragons, like to take the two a lot. I'm assuming he'll bring that over there. So if they get a chance to take the two from 40, 45 metres, they'll do it. The ball will fly 20 metres further in the altitude out there. And when you have a decent kicker, that's certainly an advantage.
And they might do that early, take the points that are on offer, and stop themselves getting monstered by New Zealand. But I think late on is when they will make their mark. I mentioned, I just think their combinations. And yeah, glad you mentioned Gareth Widdop, because he's been one of the form rugby league players on the planet, to be honest with you, this season.
He's been good.
He's a big reason why the Dragons are right up at the very ceiling of the NRL ladder. And I do think he'll be the best player on the field again on Sunday morning. Definitely worth getting up early for. A shitload of good sport, because
6 o'clock in the morning.
Even you're almost converted. You're watching some soccer, and I know you've been bored at times, but you've been enthralled at times too. Get some bets down, put some bets on these international test matches as well. It all leads into the culmination with the greatest sporting event, in my opinion, Origin Sunday night. So we're very excited.
I could watch Colombian beach volleyball. And it could be exciting to me as long as I have a punt on it. I would not watch a soccer game if I didn't have a punt on it. But yes, you're right. I have slightly gotten into it, but it is because I've got my own dough on this game.
That's true. But you don't need to bet on Australia. You've got to just have some patriotism, mate. They're on tomorrow night. Right. And then, as we said, there's a feast of rugby league. Even though there's no NRL, there's a lot to look forward to. Do you want to zoom through those best bets that we've already just given out? Summarise Origin, the Samoa Tonga and the New Zealand England again for people, and then we can get they'll all be posted on the Tripod app as well.
Yeah, why don't we just say I'll just post it in the app as soon as we're done with this pod. That's probably easier. I'll just do like a pod summary of the best bets. So I'll post that in the app in like 5 minutes. Obviously that's in the Tripod app. So download it. Like we said, yeah, Australia, Denmark tomorrow night at 10 o'clock. We will be giving away $500 worth of bonus bets for that game. And that's, yeah, all in one game. One fucking dude is going to win that. So make sure you download the app. And I think that's pretty much it. Actually, fuck, I'm going on holidays. You're going to fucking be doing the pod by yourself. This is the last one that I'll be doing for about a month's time. I'm heading to the States for a month. So I'll leave it in your very capable hands for the next month.
Yeah, we'll see how we go. I think you had a sneaky trip to Thailand last year. And we held it down.
We held it.
Last year we were over 66% for the season. So yeah, I will catch up with you before you go anyway. But I'm sure that the viewers will miss your great insight and your enormous head with a lot of numbers in there. And that head is about to scroll down all of these best bets. We make some money on this rep round. Thanks everyone who's tuned in, and go the Socceroos and go the Maroons.
Yes, let's do it. Catch you guys.